There's a time for everything. I'd like for us to turn our Bible this morning to Ecclesiastes, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. These are quite a bit of times to do things, but we want to tie into the one here in the second verse, a time to be born, and a time to die, and a time to plant. I want to preach to you this morning on it's time to die. It is time to die. It is time for us to die out to the world. It's time for us to die out to sin. It's time for us to die. You know why? So we can live. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we'll read that Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and it's time to live. We can't live a good life until we die from the old life. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. And I hope that everyone has died out this morning where you enjoying the life of living a Christian life. And that's what it takes. And everyone has to die out that way. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 said, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And listen, and be not conformed, and don't be a partaker of, in other words, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we just read that first verse there, I beseech you. How many knows what beseech means? That means I beg. Paul said, I beg you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it's a living sacrifice. It's not a dead sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. You see, when we've died out to the world, you see, then we can present our body a living sacrifice because we're alive. He has quickened even our mortal body, and we're alive, and we can present that body unto him a living sacrifice. Now, so we must die before we can live. How many knows that? You know, there's a lot of folks that just, they're still struggling to live the old life and serve God at the same time. It doesn't work. That's a miserable thing to have, and it just doesn't work that way. So let's go to St. John, Gospel, the 12th chapter, and verse 23. And there's another time here. The time. And listen to what Jesus said here in verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come. In other words, it's my time. How many got that? The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The time has come. Now, he had to die to be glorified. Very, very, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die. If that corn doesn't fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, I want you to notice that he said, it's time that the Son of Man be glorified. In other words, it's my time to die. In another scripture, he says, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. He said, I'd like to get out of this. The flesh was crying out, but that flesh had to die. It had to die so you and I can live. Now here's the case of the whole thing. We're all headed for death. We're all going to die, whether we want to or not. How we feel about it or not. We're going to put it off as long as we can. But see, we're going to die in one shape or another. We're going to die a sinner, or we're going to die out before that we have to die this mortal body, and we're going to have to die out to this world. Now, we're going to leave this world one way or the other. We're either going to be a sinner that hasn't died out this world, that hasn't crucified this mortal body, was to crucify the flesh with the affections and the lusts thereof. The Bible plainly teaches that. Now, Jesus said, it's come my time. I have to die. And he said, here's the way I'm going to explain it to you. Except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it falls in the ground and it dies, it'll bring forth what? Much fruit. So here's where the church is at today. That's why we've got 15 here this morning. There's a lot of them that's not died out in the flesh to where they can really glorify Jesus by getting to the house of God and really worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We're supposed to enjoy if the old man has passed away. And the Bible plainly teaches in several scriptures that old things are passed away and all things has become new. It's a brand new thing. I used to think that Christmas was where you got drunk, huh? And had a hangover the next morning. But I found out now, since the old man died out, I don't get drunk anymore. I don't have a hangover anymore. I enjoy life. I don't have the problems I used to have because I'm enjoying. God is taking care of me, and he'll do the same thing for you if we just die out to this old man. We have to die out. Jesus said, it's my time to die. He brought that in very good this morning, that his name was the Word in heaven. His name was, and he, in John 14:6, he's the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. So he is the Word, but he had to die. And that's why so many people, that's why so many people could be Christians today. Because he died. He didn't stay there. He arose. He rose again. And that's the good part of it. And when we die out to sin, now there's plenty of scriptures on this, and I want to preach from this thought too, preparing to really live. And it says in St. John chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5, it says, in him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now in him was what? Him was light. But he died and brought forth that greater light. Now notice how you read that, St. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was light. He's light. In him was life, and the life was what? The light of who? Of men. And the next part of it, that's the way you study your Bible. In him was life, the life was the light of men. Then the light shineth in darkness. How many believes we got a dark hour in over our nation? How many believes we got a dark situation? People want to kill instead of give life. They want to kill. Now the thief, John 10:10, is again, I quote that every now and then. In him was life. In John chapter 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Life. Now, here's the story. When we come to the end of our journey, and we lay on our deathbed in the flesh there, dying, we're either going to die with him to life, or we're going to die with him to eternal death. That's the time we're going to die, and it's going to settle everything. In Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed to man once to die, but after that, the judgment. So there's so many places where it tells us. Let's go back down here to St. John 12 here just a minute. And it says, verse 24, Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. If we love the things of this life, we're going to lose it. One way or the other, it's going to be gone. When the final tone of death comes, it's going to be separating from this life. And said, he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. So if we hate it, you know, I'm satisfied that every one of us here this morning in our life, we've had a lot of things in our life, our way of living. We had many things that we hate now. I hate some of the things that I've done. I wish I hadn't have done them. But thanks be to God, by his blood, he forgave me. And he gave me a new life. And Acts chapter 17, verse 28 said, in him we live and we move and we have our being. In him we live. So in him was life. And the life was the light of men. That light shines in darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. And in him we live. So we have to be in him. It doesn't make any difference whether you go to church or not. I know a lot of folks who go to church is a whole lot worse than those who go to the bar. That's not the point, going to church. The point is if we're born again. The point is if we've entered into that new life and we hate the things that we used to do. Or do we meditate and say, I wish I could just backslide a little while to do some of those things? No, that won't work. We'll go right back to Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. It was his life. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's take a few scriptures here and talk about getting rid of this old man that hinders us. Huh? This old man that hinders. Somebody said, people's in my way. No. People can't get in your way if you're with Christ. We're in our own way. And there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Go right back to death. Death. The end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 3 here just a minute, and read just a little bit here, Colossians chapter 3, and let's read verse 1, maybe through 8 verses. If you then be risen with Christ. So now if we're dead in him, then we rose with him. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above. How many's looking up and seeking those things above? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above. Now I wonder what's up there. How many believes that there's power can come from heaven and give you joy? And how many believes the kingdom of God is above, but it comes to us? Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How many would rather have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost than to have trouble in everything? Man's days on this earth are few and full of what? Full of trouble, unless he's traded this thing off and got his life fixed up and has himself under control to God and hates the old man and loves the new. Rejoice. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So what are we supposed to be seeking? More of the things of the world? More of the things that we can dabble around with? No, set your affection on what? Things above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Another scripture put. Verse 3. For ye are dead. Now who's he talking to? Christian. You're dead. I wonder how many are dead. You can cross them a little bit and see the old man react pretty strong. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ. Where? In God. For you are dead. Christian, if you're born again, you're covered by the blood. The old man has passed away, and it's dead. Unless we revive him, we don't want him to be resurrected, the old man. We want the new man. He's resurrected in us, And Christ Jesus is on the inside of, if Christ be in you, the body is dead, another scripture said, because of the Spirit. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. So then when he comes and he appears in his glory, who's going to be with him in glory? Huh? We are. How many is looking forward to being with him in glory? Huh? In glory. Listen to it. When Christ, that's what I'm telling you, folks. You're not going to hear this kind of preaching in hardly any church anymore, because they don't want to tell you the truth. They're afraid that he'll run them off. I'm going to tell you something. We need to get rid of the old man and get a new man. And the pastors of the churches, people's going to stand accountable for what they preach to the people. If they don't preach the truth, you should know the truth. John 8:32 said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now it tells us how to do that in verse 5. How many's getting on how to study the Bible? I'm trying to teach everybody how to study the Bible. You know, preachers have not even took time to teach people how to study the Bible. What a shame. Verse 5. Mortify. That means to kill. Mortify. There are your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. The wrath of God. He got on that some this morning. He didn't get to the wrath, but he got on the tribulations. And there's a difference between tribulation and the wrath of God. Now, how many knows the wrath of God? It comes directly from God, and it's the wrath. Now, let's look at that again. For which things the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. All that disobedience and everything. How many believes that our nation is just really on target with God? One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. One Christ, one Bible, our roadmap to what we really need. Somebody said, I just don't know why that we're having so much trouble up there in the Congress. I do, the wrath of God. I don't know why that it come in all these storms. You know, it's just apt to come a tornado one day and a snowstorm the next. I don't understand all these earthquakes, why they're coming upon. I don't understand why somebody will go into a school and kill 20 little children. I understand that. I hate it, but I understand it. I understand that there's a demon power a hold of that person to kill. The thief cometh not but to kill. All these things are the wrath of God, and people's not got enough Christianity anymore to know when it's the wrath of God. But that's what the Bible said. It said when the wrath of God got there, it said they'd hide in the rocks after a while. And they'll look out from behind the rocks and curse God and shake their fist at him. Huh? What a shame for people to get into. What a shame for the platform of our congressmen and everything. Listen to me. The thing that gets them elected is abortion. Partial birth abortion. That's killing just as much as that man was shooting. And there's been millions of them dying. And nobody seems to see that. Proverbs says, the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. And our nation is being turned into hell right now. The pale horse is riding. The pale horse and his rider, which is death, and hell is right behind him. Now let's go a little further with this. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We can't help but have the wrath of God on us. There ain't no way out from under. It's on its way. And it's going to get so bad that people's going to cry and the rocks and the mountains to fall upon. Verse 7 says, in the which ye also walked, you used to walk that way, sometime when you lived in them. But now, verse 8 said, ye have put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And verse 9 said, "And lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." You put him off. "And have put on" — what we're putting on? "We have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge and the image of him that created him." We got rid of the old man and we put on the new man, which is made after the knowledge of him that created him. In other words, the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of God needs to be on the inside of us, working day and night. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that very plainly. Verse 3 said, "According as his divine power, he hath given unto us all things." Now here's what God gives us. "According as his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness." That's good, isn't it? "According as his divine power, he's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Through what? "Through the knowledge of him that hath called us." Where'd he call us to? "To glory and virtue." He's called us to glory, because he is our glory. And we can see glory, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 and verse 18. It said, verse 17 says, "The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And verse 18 said, "We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord." What happens to us? We're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're changed from glory to glory, one glorious experience to another. And we've put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So these things are very important for us. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Let's turn there just a minute. Let's read verse 20. "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when we do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." So we're to follow for in his steps. That's what the Bible is for. That's our roadmap. We're following him. Now go back to Romans, Romans chapter 12. Can you see after all this? Let's look at, "I beseech you," Paul said, now I'm begging you, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present" what? See, it's up to me whether I present my body or not. It's up to you whether you present your body or not. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies" what? "Not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice." Now, I got a new slant on that just recently. I always get something new, seem like, when I read it over and over and over. You will too. Get something new every time that you read it. But Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your body not a dead sacrifice." Most sacrifices was offered to dead. But wait a minute, you don't have that sacrifice anymore. Your old man is dead. Now how many getting this? But you're offering him a what? A new sacrifice. You're offering him a living sacrifice, because the new man lives. The old man is dead. I don't know if you got anything out of that or not, but did you get that? There's a new thing that God wants us to get into. Now my old man's dead. It's supposed to be. Sometimes he wants to be resurrected. We have to kick him around a little bit and tell him to shut up and behave himself. Remember, you're dead. You got to pronounce that to it. The old man. That you present your body. Now, it's a new man. A living sacrifice, not a dead one. A living sacrifice. How is that? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to what this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Real quick, turn your Bibles to Philippians 2 and 5, and let's look and see what that says. What kind of mind are we supposed to have? I like this part of it right here. Philippians 2 and 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also
in Christ Jesus. Boy, when we get our old mind out of the way, and he puts his mind in this new mind. And then he says, I'll tell you the way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then he said in Romans 14:6, he said, now, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the advocate between man and God to the Father. The Father. Well, somebody said it was impossible that Mary should bring forth a child as a virgin. There ain't nothing that, I thought, oh, with God, all things are possible. You know what brought the child forth? The seed, which was the Word of God. That made him the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. The seed, the Word. Now, not only him, but that seed on the inside of us changes us. This old vile man begins to change into the Word inside of us. This new man, this born again man on the inside of us. He begins to change in the Word. He lives on the Word. He eats the Word. He obeys the Word. He thinks the Word. I'll tell you what, it's a powerful experience if we can just lay a hold on it. So preparing to really live in him was life, and the life was the light. So that's preparing. To die out to self and let his life come in. So we die out to self. Self doesn't no more dictate to us. The flesh doesn't more tell us what to do. It doesn't say, well, I'm going to do this, I'll do that. It says, what do you think about that, Lord? What do you think about that? To remember it was us that grieved ourselves. You know, people says, what that person's doing is just really grieving me. I'm really aggravated. I'm really upset about it. Now, wait a minute here. We can lay that off on somebody else. And people lay things off on somebody else and say, if it wasn't for that fella in the church, I could serve God and all the good. If they can't get over one hump, they can't get over another. You know, there's a lot of folks stuck in the mud and never have moved very much since they got saved. They're still spinning their wheels. Need to buckle down and let the new man begin to act and take orders from the Lord. We as Adam have all sinned. And Christ died to cover that sin and give us life. But the thief. Now to be carnally minded, Romans 8:6 said, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? We need to get his mind in here. To be carnally minded is death. Always death. But to be spiritually minded is life. And it is peace. The three things that consist of the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.